The Share Pickers Weekend Podcast with Justin, Paddy, Peter and Steve. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the Weekend Podcast. I'm joined by Paddy, Pete, and where is Break Even What's the Ticker Stephen?
He's in Valencia.
Valencia. He's at a ladies' conference. That's where he's at. He said, I'm in Valencia at a conference. Lots of ladies here. What conference is that? I'm fascinated by Steve's world. Yes. A conference in Valencia with lots of ladies. Google that. Yep. But I've got to say, this podcast is sponsored by Joanne and Kevin and Sean and Marcus, Simon, Kath, Sarah, Wynne and the family, sponsoring us on our 10 Peaks Challenge.
Yes. Thank you, everybody who's sponsored so far.
Yeah, yeah. So I think if you've got my Twitter. Yeah, 10 pigs. And what, I've got to say, Pete, I'm a bit worried about this.
Right. Why?
For three reasons. First of all, right, we don't know how we're going to get there. How are we going to get there, first of all, right? We haven't sorted that out. Paddy's in different. It's three of us, you know, and Paddy's in Croydon. I don't know how you can get out of Croydon these days. Yeah. You know, you're somewhere else. Where are you? In Hazelmere? Is that where you are?
It's not in Devon, yeah, in sort of the Surrey area.
Oh, yeah. Hazelmere. You're in Hazelmere. And I'm, you know, in sort of Chandler's Ford area. You're driving, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
So we sort of sorted, we don't know when we're going to meet up there. We don't know how we're going to get there, first of all. One of my big worries, though, is there's 10 peaks in Snowdon in a single day, which is about 20 miles, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, I walk on average about 3 to 5, walking the dog, on flat terrain. This is 20 miles of mountain peaks in a day.
Yes. We're jogging it, yeah?
Yeah, exactly. We'll knock it out before lunch, I reckon.
Yeah, if we jog it, it's probably 3 hours.
Knock it out before lunch, and then we'll do the walk afterwards. Hey! Yeah. But listen. No, but guys, what's worrying about me? I'm 52 nearly. I'm the oldest guy here, probably the most unfittest of the three of us. And so you're dragging me behind. Have we got any ropes you can just strap me to? Like, the guys, what do they do when you up the Mount Everest and you've got the Sherpas there and all that, you know, helping, carrying the packs and all that. Can you do that with me? Just drag me along, just on the floor. Just drag me face down on the floor. I can't go any further, guys.
The downhill bit, yeah, we'll do that. That's fine.
I'm a bit worried about that, the physicality of it. Okay. I'm getting on.
It's a challenge. It's a charity challenge.
That's why it's a challenge,
Yes, and we're doing it for a very good cause. So can we plug the Just Giving page?
Yeah, well, go on. Go. What is the actual Just Giving website address? It's not very easy.
Read out the full URL, Pete.
Yeah, it's HTTPS.
Yeah, do you remember that? www.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. It's https://www. justgiving.com/fundraising/10grand peaks with hyphens in between there. But yeah, you'll find it if you search for 10 grand peaks. It's Justin, Paddy, and Pete's 10 grand peaks.
Yeah, that's the other thing I'm worried about. First of all, getting there. Second of all, hang on. Second of all, doing it, right? Third thing, you've put a target there, 10 grand. What are we on? 475 quid.
I know. Right, so I'll explain. So a friend of mine who runs this great charity initiative called Big Moose, and they do a lot of great work in a lot of different areas, a lot around homelessness and vulnerable people and mental health and all this stuff. And they've set this massive target of doing Project 1 million, raising a million quid for these great causes. And basically, they were looking for people to, you know, share the burden. So, you know, you only need, 100 people to get 10 grand and you've got a million quid, haven't you?
So, and also, you know, a lot of people are sort of, you know, self-serving, a bit selfish. So when you think of it, this is about homelessness and mental health. Now, have you been investing in the stock market for the last 18 months? You're not far off having mental health problems and being homeless. So it could be for you, you know?
Exactly. Right. So if you're listening to this podcast and you fancy just...
Yeah. If the market carries on the way it is, it will all be emotionally broken and homeless. So, it's a little fun there for you. So please do, because we've got, first of all, like I said, 10K target, which is ridiculous. That's a challenge we'll never beat. The physicality is something we'll never beat. And will we ever get there? So the good thing is, boys, the part I'm in charge of, the accommodation side of it, that's booked, paid for.
Oh, yeah, that's sorted. Yeah,
all right.
No, I think... I'm guessing that's going to be fine, and I think doing it will be a challenge, but that's the point. We've still got 3 weeks. Got 3 weeks to train for it. Come on, Justin, get out there.
Route, does it start at Snowdonia or does it Snowdon or does it
start from Croydon?
Do we go through? Last time I was up there, the cafe at the top was shut, which was really annoying.
Okay. That is annoying, isn't it?
It's not. It doesn't include Snowdon.
Snowdon, what?
Oh, good job.
No, it's in Snowdonia, but it's 10 peaks in Snowdonia. So
Snowdon's not one of the 10.
I'm glad it isn't one of the 10. Are you kidding?
No, exactly.
That's one of the 10. We'll be dead.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Oh, God. I was looking forward to the cafe. Apparently, they've got some really good bake off slices up there.
Do you know what, Pad? There are easier places you can get bake-off slices. You go to Asda down the road there. I kept the Snowdon to get bake-off slice. It's insane.
Yeah.
That's the last thing I'd be thinking about is bake-off slices.
Well, there is a good spa I went to up there as well, so maybe we could do that. Have we got time for a spa? No, probably not.
What, the convenience store?
No, it's on the caravan park, which doesn't sound good, but it is a good spa.
Yeah, you haven't sold that to me.
We'll do Snowdon in the afternoon once we've done these 10 peaks in the morning.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. No, but seriously, Pete, how long does it take a 52-year-old man with questionable fitness?
I don't know. Hopefully less than 10 hours. No, I don't know.
Have you asked them any questions at all? How long is it distance-wise? How long does it normally take a disabled man, with a bad knee and a bad attitude to get up there? I mean, some of the peaks, like you won't even notice them. So that's a peak, really, when it's just like a little rock.
I think the key will be you conserving your energy and not talking so much and putting more of that effort into your legs and walking, and we'll be fine.
Okay.
Walking, not talking. That's the key. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that'd be fun, wouldn't it? Just not talking, just sweating and just, be uncomfortable, not even talking about it.
No, you won't be sweating. It's going to be freezing cold and raining.
It's September. What do you mean? It's like 3 weeks away. I suppose it's in Wales, isn't it? Guaranteed to have bad weather up there. The good thing is I've just ordered my my boots off Amazon. I couldn't be bothered. Listen, they've got 7,500, 4.5-star reviews. How bad can they be, Reduced from like 100 quid to 60 quid. If they're fine. What are you wearing on your feet, Pad? Footwear. We're getting to socks in a bit. What are you wearing? First of all, socks?
I've got several pairs of walking boots.
Have you?
When I did the Inca Trail and from...
Shut the front door. What are you talking about? You've not done all that.
Yeah, I ran the Inca Trail.
Oh, see, that's even more annoying. What? You've been doing this rubbish. I haven't done any of it. I walked Lola, who's a cock-a-poo, for a few miles a day.
Inca Trail is really... It's not as good as people make it out to be.
Yeah. Right.
It's basically flat, and when you get to it at the end, like I thought Machu Picchu was going to be like this amazing historical monument. It's only like 300 years old, and next there's a screw fix like 300 yards down the hill from it. So it's
screw fix.
Really? It's like an industrial estate.
They're doing well, aren't they?
And there's a train station, like you can just get the train there. So you walk 4 days through the jungle to get to this thing. You turn up and it's just full of Korean tourists who just got the train.
Sensible. Very
so
sensible.
It's not quite as impressive as they make it.
Why couldn't we get sponsorship just to ride the train up Snowdon?
Oh, yeah.
And rather than 10 peaks challenge, I don't know how long the train takes, more like 10 pints challenge. So you can drink 10 pints on the train before you get to the peak.
I imagine there'll be some of these firms that you talk about on the podcast all the time will be rolling over themselves to sponsor us.
Yeah. Yes, good point.
Well, if it's a good thing to say about them, in fact, I should tap some up, actually, some corporates. Maybe.
You really should, we'll happily get branded.
Branded.
Are we going to do a podcast?
What you need to get up those peaks, of course, is energy. Hey! I'm seeing something happening there. Pad, you've got solar panels, haven't you?
I have got solar panels, yeah.
Are they good or what? Because have you seen that the amount of demand now for solar panels has gone crazy?
I got them just at the right time.
Yeah.
So I wasn't aware of how much they were doing, because I didn't realise that on my energy app it did a day-by-day breakdown.
Ooh, he's got an energy app. Get him.
Well, you would hope so, considering how much we're paying for energy, right? Yeah. But it does the thing that way, it breaks it down day by day. So I can see in my daily usage, I can see where I've had a shower, I can see where I've boiled a kettle, I can see where the oven's been on. But I can also see where there's a certain amount of electricity the house just uses all day for the fridge and for whatever else is on all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And then in the middle of the day, when it's on the middle of the day, in the daytime, when the sun comes up, you can see it just drops to the floor. So, and that's a new thing. I've not noticed that before.
Well, but do you know what? I mean, I don't want to get into e-energy yet, but I'm saying, I was talking recently and I was saying, you know, behavior is a massive thing, right? And once you get one of those smart meters, because they do almost, it's called behind the meter almost, they put these smart meters, my zero smart meters in, and they just said behavior, you're able to reduce your energy by 10% just by looking at the smart meter, analyzing where it's coming from, what you're wasting, and they do really in-depth. It's easy to use.
Oh, yeah. I've halved it this week.
Yeah, yeah.
Because since I found this, I've realized what is the, I mean, this might not be sustainable, but I haven't used the oven all week. I've seen what effect that has on my energy usage, so I'm not using the oven anymore.
What are you doing? We're eating just cereal and stuff. What are you eating?
Just eating cold porridge.
Yeah, I'm just eating sawdust essentially.
I've been using the slow cooker. I've been using the microwave. I've just tried to see what effect that would have, and I've halved my energy use this week.
Do you know what? Typically, as I said, I did post out something on Twitter recently, and even now we talk about, you know, how recessions happen, and essentially when you get energy and prices going up, people's behavior changes straight away. Even now we're looking at our energy bills and we are a lot better than last year, which we didn't really care about energy too much because, you know, the prices were affordable. But even now compared to last year, we're getting this on energy bill. You've reduced it by like 10%, 20%, 30%, whatever. So that behavior, but like I said, they will go in and install these smart meters straight away. Within a week, 10% is dropped off because they can see where it is, and then they tackle the areas that are inefficient, you know. And they actually, one of their clients is E-Energy's clients, Marchwood Power Station, and they install these no upfront costs at all. So they install these meters, connect them all up, make everything a bit smart, drop by 10%. There they target the areas, 58% reduction in energy straight away, knowing where the energy is being used. And so it's amazing.
Yeah, so my solar panels, since they've gone in, are saving me 40% on the energy I was using before I got them. Yeah. And that's obviously just on my house. It's a pretty inefficient system. Like there's more roof space that they could have used if they wanted to. Now, this is a terrace street. It all faces south. There are 100 houses down this road. Now, just imagine if every single house down this road had solar panels. It feels like there's an opportunity for the government to really make some aggressive, sensible moves to address this problem that wouldn't necessarily cost that much money. Like, it's unpopular to put solar panels and wind panels all over the countryside, fine, but just stick them on top of rooftops in cities.
I don't mind windmills. I don't mind those. No, I know people say not in my backyard. I think quite nice. I drove into West Wales last weekend, weekend before last, and there's quite a few going through West. And to me, they're not an eyesore at all. Nice white things just spinning nice slow, you know, spinning. I they quite like that. What's the problem with that? I don't know if you saw that this week. News there. I didn't understand that. We have the most offshore wind power in the world, and it's a very good area. And they've just released, what was the second one? Something field. I can't think of it. It's the second. In fact, it's the biggest now in the world. We are sort of out of the top 20 wind farms. Probably about 9 of them are the biggest out of the top 20 in the world offshore. This is, and they just connected another one this week up to the grid, and that is now the biggest in the world. It'll produce, I think, 1.3 gigawatts, which is about 1.4 million homes it'll supply power to. At the moment, renewables supply about 25%, 25 to depend on the wind and all that, to 40% of our thing. So it's a way for, I know you can, I think, you know, there's something, when you have situations like that, recessions and all that stuff, you know, they do provide opportunities, you know. I think it's brought into focus many countries' dependency on, you know, foreign countries' energy, and you realise, hang on, we have to have or be independent to a certain extent, otherwise it's going to happen again, you know. So, do you know what, I'm just changing the subject a little bit. This week, and last week, I can't find anything to watch on TV, and so when I'm on the treadmill, I've got a little TV in my office there, I've been watching Bargain Hunt. Now,
oh God,
I know. That's how bad it's become.
Really bleak.
Right,
that's how bad it's become. And do you know what? I realise most of them, and I've watched now, I'd say about 10 maybe in the last 2 weeks. And I'd say today was the first time I saw two teams make money. And I realised why they don't make money. And do you know why they don't make money?
Because they're not very good at it.
Yeah, but essentially, they go to these, you know, antique fairs or shops and they're buying it at a retail price. They're buying at retail. It's called bargain hunt. So they go in there, say that something is really, you know, retail prices are overblown, aren't they? There's a margin, a margin in there. So they go, so old tatty old globe, you know, of the world has fallen apart. They're 110 quid for it. And the guy says, oh, can I be cheeky and offer you 90? Are you kidding, you maniac? You've got to go at least half price, maybe even a third, you know, of the price, because you need to resell to retail. You need to buy it wholesale. It's called bargain hunt. You're not going for a bargain there. So that's a bit like the stock market. Right now, the bear market is wholesale. It really is. I mean, look at the valuations of companies at the moment. And, you know, whereas before 18 months ago, you'd struggle to buy a stock, most companies, let's say, good growing companies at one time sales, even they're probably 3 or 4 times sales. Now they're below even that. So you realize, you know, if you want to make money, you've got to buy at a bargain of the wholesale prices. And that's what the market is offering you right now. It's very tricky and hard if you haven't got cash. I understand that. But do you remember going back like 18 months? There were several companies we invested in that were sort of 2, 3, even 5 times sales. And now they're sub 1 time sales. You realize if you zoom out a little bit, and look forward 2, 3 years time when we're back in a bull market, it gets more to retail prices, you know. And so now is the time to start doing a little bit of a. I am a bit bearish, though. How bearish are you feeling at the moment on the markets?
I'm pretty bearish, but then and just hoping, you know, it doesn't go any lower. But I think we're in for a rocky, well, at least another year, probably, aren't we? Really.
Economy-wise, yes, but the markets obviously, you know, rally ahead of it. I think if you start seeing data not getting worse, it'll start to rally. But
question at this stage is, because I've literally done nothing in the last few months really with my portfolio. It's just sat there and I've watched it kind of, well, I was going to say plummet lower, and really, what is the best course of action? You have to stay faithful to these companies and hope that like you say, they were 3, 4, 5 times sales, the market has reacted and dropped their valuation, but that doesn't mean the underlying company has changed, and the hopefully the business is still there and it will.
Presumably quite a lot big power intake, and like it'd be lovely to know what sort of state of affairs they're at in terms of their energy deal. These new energy deals that companies are facing without the price cap are ridiculous. Believe what you're seeing on Twitter and some of the social media stuff, like for a company that is dependent on heating its spaces, they're big open spaces, obviously a lot of technology in there, like there's a certain amount of energy they're forced to use to make it work.
I was talking about exactly the same thing, in fact, on the webinar a couple of weeks ago, and with Paul on Paul Hill on the podcast on Friday, which is Friday now, but I said over the next 6-12 months, right, it's going to be hard for quite a few companies. There are not many companies. I mean, listen, when a company releases any trading update or financial reports, how the market reacts is all down to where they lie in regards to expectations. It's all about expectations, okay? Because generally they give guidance to the market of where their figures are going to be. Now, there's 3 expectation outcomes. 3, that's all it is. There's exceeding them, there's meeting them, and there's below them. Now, if a company goes below them in this market, they get hammered. And I'm talking 20, 30% in a day, share price drops. If they meet them, generally, it could have a little rally, depending, you know, on how the RNS is written and stuff. But it'll get sold into. People are scared to hold stock at the moment. Unless they exceed expectations, then generally it's going to be a hard time. I don't know if you saw this, Cakebox, a very good company that has a franchise model, egg-free cakes, very good cakes, you know, a profitable company, plenty of cash. They came up with a profit warning this week. Why? Well, when you think of it, they're in one of the worst sectors at the moment because they are retail-facing, okay? So first of all, if you look at an income statement, they've said straight away their franchisees are receiving a bit less sales, doing less sales. So first of all, your revenue goes down. Then they make cakes. That's an energy-intensive business, you know? So they're paying a lot more for their energy right now than they did like 6 months ago. And it'll just get worse over the next, you know, well, when's the last sort of raise? Probably January. So until January, they're still going to be facing higher costs. Basically, the costs are going up, the revenue's coming down, the margins are being squeezed in the middle. So that there, sitting in that space... Yeah, but you know, there's a great business.
Technics.com. Just sell it raw.
Yeah, but do you know what? It's exactly. They could do that. They're very good business people. They may sort of, you know, good management do that. They pivot, don't they?
It's got no eggs in it. You can just stick it in the post.
Yes, I don't know. You get the eggs, nice. But yeah, but that's packaging, all that stuff, you know. But you know, I mean, imagine all the inputs they've got there. So they've got, you know, flour, the cost of that going up, eggs going up, all that stuff, and energy, like very intensive energy. So you know, basically, if you're looking at companies right now and you realise, I mean, pretty much that's one of the worst situations you could be in. You are producing and manufacturing a product that takes lots of energy and it's discretionary. That means people do not have to buy it. You know, and if they're squeezed themselves, they won't buy it. So your sales go down, top line goes down, and your margin, your costs go up. So you want to look at business right now, and this is why I pivot a little bit from, I believe XPF, for example, is also a discretionary spend, but they don't produce anything, and the energy is not going to be that massive. But I believe they'll do it again, what they did in COVID, and they doubled their estate during COVID because they're a listed company, they've got plenty of cash, and they took advantage of other companies, you know, leaving these high footfall premier sites that they couldn't afford pre-COVID. They couldn't afford them. And they took advantage of that, saying, right, we're now in these big, you know, shopping malls. We couldn't afford that. I think they'll do that again. And I'm talking, and this is, I'm not talking about the next few weeks, I'm talking months now. It may take a while, but they will come out with a bigger market share because the one-man bands, the people don't have access to capital. Capital is more expensive. You know, if you're not listed, you know, taking out loans, it's going up. So they have less resources. So this is how good companies expand and grow faster. So beyond this, I think XPF will grow very quickly because the management is very sharp. They'll do very well. But what you got to look at is, if you know, don't overexpose yourself to those kind of companies now. You know, I mean, they'll rally later on very strongly, I believe, but not now. So what you want to do, you know, the ideal kind of company, and I keep saying this, is companies that are not, you know, retail facing. They're not consumer discretionary. They're not, you know, they're not something that people say, I can't afford to buy that this week. I won't have one of those. Or, I mean, you know, things like coffee shops and all that stuff. Would people still be buying £4 coffees if your energy bills have gone up by, like, you know, 150%? There's some things you cut down on. There's some things you can't cut down on. Now, if you are a company that's business facing and you are on long-term recurring contracts, and in fact, your service to that to the companies, you know, is essential to them, that's where you need to be. It's just transparency of earnings and revenue, you know? So think about the businesses you're in, what you invest in, and think, what's going to take a hit, you know, and what's not going to take it? Who's going to exceed expectations over the next 6-12 months? Who's going to meet them? Who's going to be below, likely to be below? And then adjust your portfolio in that manner, you know? I mean, it's maybe too late in some ways. I mean, the companies I'm in, I completely believe in, and I think they believe they'll do well on a long-term horizon. I'm just thinking in the next, you know, 6-12 months, and you know, some companies will suffer more than others. Others will actually thrive, but you know, so you need some kind of resilience in the portfolio. You know what I'm saying?
So here's an idea, lads.
Yeah.
Yep.
The UK's got 7 nuclear submarines.
Right.
Let's just plug them into the grid.
Right.
Yeah. Is it a cable?
We just sat around doing absolutely nothing. Let's just plug them in.
What kind of adapter do you need for that, though? You probably get
USB.
Amazon probably get one of those.
I think it's just a normal socket. Just plug it in.
If you just Google, go to Amazon and search it and say nuclear sub national grid plug adapter. I bet you'll get something on Amazon.
Stick one in every major river
and
just plug it in. I mean, it probably can't do any harm, can it?
So hang on. Can I ask you a question? So nuclear subs, right? I'm assuming that's nuclear warheads.
Well, no, they're also powered by little mini nuclear power stations.
Are they? Are they really?
Yeah. Mm. And some of them have got 2 of them on for backup. They just sat around in Glasgow, just, you know.
Have you contacted Kwasi Kwarteng?
I'll email him. But I'm not a Tory donor, so he probably won't respond.
He doesn't know that, does he? Just say you are. Kwasi, a huge Tory fan. You couldn't even write that fan, could you? You couldn't even drag yourself to write that in an email.
Big fan of yours, Kwasi.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of the name Kwasi. That's as far as you go, I think. I think, you know, it'll come out. I do think, and also not even now, you're realising, if you look at how companies report, right, they're only starting now to, like, Cakebox is a very good example. They've only just started saying, we're starting to feel these effects. Now, energy prices are not going down unless Rishi or Liz Truss says something. We're going to give every business £1,000. That's going to cost billions. It'll be bigger than the COVID bill. So, it's not going to go down. And companies obviously report. Their reporting is lagging anyway. A financial report for the year is 6 months after the actual period. So those costs they're feeling won't be reported for like 6 months later. So, a lot of these companies are going to be reporting below expectation reports in the next year. So even though the market may start to rally by then because inflation may start to come down. But so right now, the market is very harsh on companies, reporting anything below expectations, and even meeting sometimes is not very, doesn't have a lot of mercy to. It's like very harsh in it. Very harsh. Very harsh indeed.
One company that we hopefully will be expecting news from would be Plarium coming up very soon. And now something like that.
Exactly. Medical as well, right? Medical, right. Literally, it's not discretionary. That's another very good, very well done, Peter. Another very good example, med tech, all that stuff. It doesn't matter within your recession. There's still the same amount of people with lung problems, and you've got government budgets that tend to not get cut during recessions on things like that. So in America...
It's just the FDA approval, but apart from that...
They just need the FD bloody A to pull their socks up. Yeah, and so that'll fly. I mean, globally significant tech... if they get that approval, that's it. I mean, things like that, right? Things like that are not basically discretionary retail facing, that kind of stuff. Anything like that that's got, guaranteed sort of government contracts somewhere or big institutional contracts. So they're business to business pretty much, or like that, business to hospital, whatever they call it, business to med tech. Yeah, that's a good area. Yeah. But, that's another good one. Anything like that. So if you go through your stocks, it's always worth looking at what sector they're in, who their customers are, are they energy intensive, all that kind of stuff, and saying, okay, am I overexposed a little bit there? Or do I need to get a bit more exposure to this part of the sector or all that stuff? And all that stuff. By the way, news out, did you see news out on... do you see that? I don't know if you saw that, but... another company.
There's three things there that we. Did you see that? Did you see that news out on that?
Yeah, I should ask myself.
Start again.
That question. So, Truefin last night announced that Stargo done a partnership deal with Visa.
Oh, really?
Visa.
Right.
It's like, and I said to Paul Hill, I said
that'll be why the share price doubled today.
Yeah, well, exactly. It's nuts. They didn't even RNS it at all, right? So basically, Visa customers get a bit of a discount on this Stargo platform. But even to hook up with Visa, again, another bit of evidence the Stargo platform is best in class. So if you'd started this, how many software startup companies, are created on a daily, yearly basis in the world, right? And then if you create something like this and you realise, okay, it's a real startup and stuff, and your partners down the road end up being Lloyds, Sage and Visa, thinking, okay, we've got something going here. That's an amazing... You couldn't wish for better partnerships. Now that, for example, as well, that part of... apart from PlayStack, the most exciting part of Truefin, that in invoice lending and all that stuff, that's going to be very busy during a recession. There are lots of companies who can't pay or they'll be delayed in paying. So they and these small companies need that cash flow. That's the kind of thing Stargo does, loans you money. So that'll be busy. That's another company I quite like being busy. But also, by the way, did you see a bit of news up from GFIN? Quite exciting. I don't know if you saw that. It's not reacted yet. But GFIN for a long time, since John Clark has come on board, he said, I'm going to change the business model here. So far, all GFIN was supplying esports services to big brands. There wasn't a lot of margin in it. The revenue is good. There's no margin. They're loss-making, so spend a lot of money on it. John Clark came in and said, we're going to build out our digital media business by owning websites that attract niche nerds, all that stuff, and advertise to them. We're going to build that area, also get a stock informer so we can suggest, affiliate advertising as well as on marketing, all that stuff. And we're also going to do the esports service business, but only if it makes sense, if it's good margin. But we're going to spin out the platform we use for these companies that measure the race stats in app chat and all that stuff. we're going to spin that out as a software as a service. And that was the third leg of the thing. They've just announced that, the launch of Athlos. That was last week. John came on the podcast. And this is very good, because like I said, what you want in this environment is recurring revenues. And Athlos is exactly that. They launched Athlos. They've used it all along with big companies like Premier League, F1 Sports. So they've been testing it for a long time. They're now going to spin it out. It's pretty much, they beforehand, it wasn't that automated, but now they've pretty much automated it as a white label kind of product. So any company can have it, take it on board, use it as a service over a long-term contract. And look at this. Work continues, they said, a development of a deeper automation scale with a product being used by 73 million people in the last 30 days. And I know for a fact one of the biggest mobile gaming platforms use it. So it's been beta tested for a long time, and now they've launched it, you know, on its own. And they said, I think an investor's going to come in. They said Athlos is 100% owned by Gfinity. The company is currently exploring partnerships, opportunities with organizations with experience in delivering and successfully managing SaaS business models. So I think they're going to scale it by getting an investor in who's done this before. And I didn't realize this. Look at this. So they launched Athlos, right, targeting $127 billion games service sector. And I did not know this. They've also hired Tad Citron as a strategic advisor. But anyway, so Neville Upton, who's a chairman, said, Athlos Gaming Technologies aligned with Gfinity's strategy to focus on generating value by owning, scaling, and monetizing communities on our new owned tech IP. And so in-game, live service revenues are a key focus of the industry. It amounts to $127 billion per annum, more than double the value of upfront sales revenues of games. So that's double, you know, game sales. Engaged competitive gamers can spend 30 times in-game compared to non-competitive gamer. This is where Athlos delivers by dramatically increasing the number of engaged competitive gamers in any game, whether mobile, PC or console. So it's game agnostic, any game. And there's a platform there. They could, you know, a company can launch an esports game. They've got everything from measuring the stats, you know, if it's a racing game, to in chat, all that stuff. They can deliver everything sold as a service, recurring revenues. And that's what I like. And it, to me, this puts Gfinity above any other small cap, micro cap esports sort of company, because now they've got their own digital media with advertising through affiliate marketing as well, services as esports, and now software as a service. So I see good things for it. And it's taken a massive hit. They're like, what, 14 million market cap. They've got like probably about 3 million of cash now, and warrants to be cashing as well. So they raised 2.7 million, plus they've got 2.7 million warrants as well. So plenty of cash, going to be profitable this year. And so they are an EV enterprise value of around about, what, 12 million. That's nuts. Well, they are on pretty much one-time sales. This was valued at five-time sales before the launch of this in the bull market. This will go back to 3 to 5 times sales, and they're forecast to be doing 10.5 million in sales this year. So even on that 3 times 10 million, that's like a double from here. If you do 5 times, that's more than double. So, yeah, I quite like this now. They've got 3 legs to the strategy. This is exactly what John said he was going to do. He's taken a lot of criticism, but he stuck with it. And I think this could, over time, do very, very, very well indeed. You know?
Can they just go on with it, please?
Yeah, well, it takes time. Oh, if you look,
like,
if you look
like,
at
13 years now.
Like, I know, people like Charlie Munger, right? You know who Charlie Munger is, yeah?
The racing driver.
That's it. Oh, is he? Is that as well, is he? It's very impressive.
No. I know you mean, yeah. No. Charlie Munger, yes.
Will Ferrell's right hand man.
Warren Buffett's right hand man.
Yeah. So he's his partner, right hand man, Berkshire Hathaway, and he's a very good investor. But you know, he says, if you can't stomach market drawdowns, says market drawdowns, not individual stock drawdowns, a 50% or more sometimes, you know, 2-3 times a decade, then you'll only achieve the mediocre returns you deserve. Gfinity could go on to be, you know, now they've got a very scalable model, could go on to be, you know, triple digit market cap going forward, especially in esports. Every company I invest in, I look at the trends. Hopefully they're hot and growing. Esports is a growing trend. It'll be big, it'll be massive again. But when the stock markets are going down, you know, and capital is becoming more expensive, they take a massive knock, you know? But, you know, conversely, when the markets start rallying again, these are the kind of stocks that will rally like crazy. And high beta stocks. And esports isn't, like I said, there's rumors of it being the Olympics. I mean, I don't know if that has happened, but there's one thing. If you look at even the service sector in gaming, $127 billion a year. That's massive. You know, it's huge. And it's not going to get any smaller. So it's a strong trend. And I think Chief India well placed it within that trend to profit from it massively. But you've got to give it, you know, listen, these companies are going to give it 3 to 5 years horizon, you know. I've held Gfinity now, well, about probably 4 years, I think. But we've gone through a bear market, which no one foresees. But yeah, give it another year, and I think it'll be multiples where we are now if they carry on doing very well. I mean, I like a lot, and from this level, you know, I like it.
Yeah, I think sit and hold. That's the, I'm just.
Someone said to me, I did say on Twitter, what did I say? Got a couple of likes on it. Where is it? I'll scroll down. I did say, one day this bear market will end, as they all have, and the markets will make new highs, as they always do. Yeah. And we look back at the valuations on a lot of companies where they are today and think, I should have bought more. Now, what we don't know is when it'll end. What we do know is it will end and we will make new highs. But right now it's very painful. And someone said, yeah, it's very painful. I said, no, emotionally it's the most painful thing of all. It's the hardest thing. Emotion's the most hardest thing. I've lost about 50% of my portfolio value. It's so hard. Mm. It really is hard. But you jump out and get panicked out. Honestly, holding for years. If you look at the stats on holding a stock for 10 years, you must have picked a right dog to have lost money. But if you're in good growing companies, there's a very high probability that you hold anything over 5 years, because that's through the entire cycle of a bull bear market and back to a bull market there. Bear, bull, bear. You'll do well, you know. So it's just holding it. It's hard. It's hard work. But, I mean, it's emotionally hard, isn't it? I find it really emotionally hard. So I'm looking at it all the time.
Yeah, massively. Yeah. That's the thing, isn't it?
Any trade that goes through that just shows a downtick, a sell, I think, oh, Brad, what's wrong with you? What is wrong with you people? Just don't sell
me. I've said this before, but I don't know, because you're in it day in, day out. I don't know how you do it, because it's that I've switched off to it, really. I glance at my portfolio and go, ooh, yeah, that's gone down a bit again. but then I've got other things that occupy my mind. You're in it, you know, 24/7 sort of thing, which must be quite hard. But
Well, the thing is, I know it's hard, but that's why a lot of private investors don't make money, because it is emotionally hard. If you crack the emotional side of it, that's all you need. If you're in a company, and I do a lot of research on companies, and you're convinced of it, don't get shaken out by, you know, a bit of worry, you know, because we are in a historically hard bear market. Really is. We're at 40 years high on the inflation. It's not going to be an easy bear market, you know. It's not. But, you know, like I said, they always end, and the market always goes higher after it ends. And you just got to realize that, and you realize the companies right now, you know, bargain hunt. Prices and valuations. Nice. They are basically wholesale. You know, they were 18 months ago at retail. You're going to buy it wholesale if you can, or even don't sell it wholesale. That's not the... If you're in a business, you're selling it wholesale, you know, you're losing money. If you're buying it retail and selling it wholesale, you're losing money, aren't you?
Yeah.
Nice. Is anyone still doing Wordle these days?
Yeah, I do it.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's I've not done all the words yet.
Yeah. No.
Let's have literally 5 minutes, right? On Paddy's favourite subject.
Right.
do you know what I'm worried about? It's like if Liz Truss gets, I'm not worried about it actually. I think, you know, it's a natural course of the way it goes. If Liz Truss gets in, who I don't trust whatsoever, she's a liar. I think she's a bigger liar than Boris, to be honest. If she gets in, Tories will definitely lose next general election. If Rishi gets in, they'll probably lose. That's how I feel about it. I think they're both dreadful. And I literally think, if I were you, Pat, if you're a Labour voter, I think you should be cheering this now, because they're a pair of idiots.
Oh, mate, yeah, but I don't want our country... Like, people are going to die this winter because of these idiots and their inaction. Like, I'd prefer to see someone vaguely competent running the country during one of the biggest crises we've ever seen.
Do you know what I'm surprised at? They've only just started in the last 2 weeks. they've really just sort of started mentioning the energy problem that people are having. So people have been shouting and screaming about this for a long time, and you've only just been coming. They're focusing on, they're trying to please too many people. I think focus on the biggest problem first and foremost, right? The biggest problem everyone's facing is energy. That's it. Focus on that. Don't talk about anything else. Just focus
and
on
the
that.
The only solution that they're even contemplating is bailing out the failed market that they created.
Yeah.
With even more of our money. Like, if you're going to spend billions and billions of pounds propping up a market that doesn't work, just buy it. Like, literally. There's public sentiment towards nationalising energy at the moment is very positive. Even Tory voters are pro doing that at the moment. Just buy it. Yeah. Just fix that problem straight away.
Well, I said that a while back. I said buy some, or take big stakes, significant stakes in the utilities companies. That way you have a seat at the table. And not only that, you earn lots of money in dividends, which we ploughed back in the system. And I think it's absolutely nuts. It's not, in fact, Johnson announced yesterday they're putting $700 million into a nuclear power plant, which takes about 15 years. But they should have a stake in them. Absolutely have a stake in them, shouldn't they? It just makes sense, you know?
Well, if there's any benefit, I mean, I'm not sure of the rules in the EU in terms of state ownership, but seeing as France are able to own EDF, like, it seems like just go and crack on, just buy it, just do something bold, don't sit on your hands. Action is needed on energy right now, and whilst that's happening, also then, like, attack it with a war, put the country on a war footing in terms of aggressively going out to find new sources of energy. We should be building solar panel factories. We should be putting them on every building that we've got that's got a roof that faces in the right direction. Like, there's no urgency in any of this.
I know, and it's so slow.
Feeling the urgency, but there's just no leadership whatsoever.
I just realised that none of their social media accounts are obviously run by them or looked at by them, because people are shouting at them for a long time now. Energy bills are killing businesses. You know, that means businesses are going to go bust. People will lose their jobs and they'll have to go home and try and pay for the energy and the food they can't afford. And they've been talking about all kinds of nonsense that no one really cares about. Get on with it. And do you know what annoys me as well? I was looking at this, I just realised, water companies, do you know their prime job, their absolute priority, water companies, is not to serve us clean water or in any way, in an efficient manner. It's basically to pay dividend holders. That's it. And then you realise everything else is secondary to that. Because when it doesn't rain, they cut our hose pipes off. When it rains too much, they flood in the systems with their sewage. Then, hang on, you got one job here. You're losing a quarter of your water. You're losing a quarter of it by leaks. But you're happy to pay dividends and not plough billions wrong just for 1 year. To stop paying dividends, fix the leaks. They keep talking about Victorian plumbing. How long was it since we were in Victorian times? How much time do you need to get it sorted, for heaven's sake? You know, your priority is not dividend holders or shareholders, please. But it is for them, you know, and that's it. But if you think their water company's priority is to give us, you know, efficient water and less clean water, it's not. It's not at all. That's a secondary importance to them. And I realise the system's knackered. And that's why a while back, if they take stakes in like Shell, BP, you know, all these water companies as well, the government be getting a truckload of money out, which they can support people in if prices go up too high. But also, they'd have a seat at the table and say, this is not on. We're putting a cap on this price. It's not all about profits. It's about people needing energy, needing water, the basic human needs.
I mean, this is why they're called utilities, right?
Yeah.
This is the whole point of what these things aren't designed to be in anything other than government ownership. Like, they should be run well by, you know, and set up some system whereby it's not fully owned by the government, fine. But, like, they should be run with the public as the number one customer.
And also the government would be actually making money. You know, the share prices of these companies have gone up really well. The government would be sitting on a bit of coffers here right now. They, rather than just losing money hand over fist, be making money. And I'm just talking about no other companies, just utilities, so essential needs for the public, you know, like water, electricity, all these kind of companies take big stakes into these big dividend holders because that's their priority, these companies. And so the government could take advantage of this for the people.
You look at the amount of money that was made available to the banks when they were failing.
Yeah.
And, like, it's trillions of pounds in terms of money that was put up for them, for security for them.
Yeah.
That was, I mean, you know, I think the days of being worried about the magic money tree are gone, and hopefully people are now realizing that having a bit of government debt's not the end of the world. But like, money was made available then because it was a crisis, and nobody really kicked off about the propping up the banks. This is the same, and this is not just some guys in the city who are going to lose their bonuses if these companies fail. It's people's lives. So this is exactly the same action needs to be taken, if not more so.
I agree. I think, sadly, I think, you know, politicians at the moment are so in their own, you know, running for premise, their own backsides, not focusing on what people care about. They're so far removed, so out of touch. And I'm thinking, sadly, I they need someone else apart from Starmer in there. Just to, you know, part of me thinks I don't want to vote for, you know, Truss or Sunak, but I equally don't want to vote for Starmer. You know, you need someone with a bit of oomph there, a bit of charisma, a bit of, you know, a bit of inspiration there. You know? I know it's more than that, but,
I know, but the chase for charisma is what has ended us up where we're at. Like, let's just have someone who's vaguely competent. Let's have that.
That's the bar. And you know what? That's what it comes down to. Yeah, I'm just going to vote for someone who's vaguely competent, because it seems like there's no one there at the moment that is. You know,
let's just have an adult in charge, just for a couple of years, please.
Yeah. Finally, let's just finish on anything you're recommending, TV, video. Did you watch any TV, Pat, or you turn it off now? Too much.
I watched George Clark's Places last night, whatever it's called. Houses.
Yeah.
He a couple needed a new bathroom, so they got George in to help out to figure out where to put the bathroom, and George said, "Well, let's just put it in one of the bedrooms." And so they
that's a bedroom, George.
And so they put it in one of the bedrooms.
Yeah, you shouldn't listen to the
experts. And that was it.
Too much. Yeah.
Wow. That's not really a recommendation then.
No.
Amazing that they couldn't think of that. Because, I mean, there were only four rooms in the house. So the bathroom had to go in one of them.
Exactly. Do you ever watch that? You've got to follow Alan Sugar. He's so out of touch. He's unbelievable. It's hilarious. Alan Sugar's talk about lazy gits getting back to work and all this stuff. It turns out one of his biggest holdings is London Property, so he's got a Amstrad Group or Amprop or something, which owns a lot of office space and all that stuff. So, and he couldn't see the irony. He's arguing with someone, and said, "Alan," but he said, "I can go in. You can sort out any problem." He argued with someone. He said, "Listen, I can sort out any problem wherever I am, wherever in the world." He said, "So basically, you're working from home then, Alan?" He said, "You're remote working, aren't you?" He said, "Don't be a dick." And he starts swearing at people, and then someone said to him, Alan, you invented the home computer. But he just blocks people and swears at them, you know. So it's hilarious. Alan Sugar's hilarious to watch. But did I watch anything good recently? Better Call Saul is good. No, but the reason why I said Alan Sugar, he slagged off that that drama called Marriage. Have you watched that?
No.
It's Sean Bean and the other actress who's very good. I can't remember. But it's got long pauses and silences. It's very awkward. It's a married couple who's been together for a long time. Wow. And they don't express them. And it's very awkward because Sean Bean is brilliant. He just stands there sometimes. He wants to say something, but he doesn't, you know. And he's like, and he's literally, Megan did like, she's terrible. I thought it was brilliant. But I mean, it reminds me of this guy. It's a bit like, you know, Better Call Saul. Have you ever watched that?
Oh, yeah.
Spin-off.
Yeah, I love
it. There's lots of silences in that and just silences. And this guy on Twitter said, "I was stoned the other day and I went to get some food. I was watching Better Call Saul. I came back, I forgot I put on pause, and I thought it was part of a scene." I watched it for 5 minutes. And it's like that. It's like scenes of silence. And in fact, they overdo it a little bit in Marriage, I think. But there are parts of it I quite like. It's just certain bits are very funny, I think, where there's one bit, it's very subtle. He's in the supermarket and he goes in, and he's out of a job now. He's like late 50s, out of a job. His missus got a good job. And he goes in there, and he goes to this guy who's also mid-50s, working in Tesco or something, and he said, "Excuse me, mate, have you got, like, some revitalising shower gel?" And he said, "Oh, revitalising shower gel, is that what it's called, is it?" He said, no, that's just what it is, you know, it's what it does to you, it gives you a boost in the morning." He said, "Oh, I love it." So this guy in Tesco is obviously new, so he's bent hands on his knees, looking on the thing, revitalise. And he's thinking, "Do you realise it's been filmed or what?" So the guy goes up and asks his younger colleague, he says, "Come on, Mike, it's not a brand, it's called Revitalised Gel." And he says, "Oh, okay." So he goes back there and he's looking there, and literally they spend a minute or 2 minutes on the scene with this guy's hands on his knees, this fat guy in Tesco's, middle age. "Oh, yeah, I can't seem to see this anyway. Oh, yeah. But what does it do, you say? So it just gives you a boost in the morning. So we could all do with, all do with a bit of that, couldn't we? And literally, that's it. The policy was mad. But it's worth looking at because there's some brilliant comedy moments, but it does, you know, it stretches your patience a little bit, but it's very good. But right. worth it. It's one of the things. Megan hated it. I quite liked it. You know, it's a Marmite thing.
Okay.
Alan Sugar didn't like it, so Megan's on the side of Alan Sugar. Right. I don't know what that says.
And what's it called, sorry?
Marriage.
Marriage,
Sean
right,
Bean
okay.
is brilliant. He literally looks very uncomfortable. He's, you know, socially awkward. Really is. And if you like that kind of stuff, then if you, you know, it's good, but some people don't like that kind of stuff. There we are. Marvellous stuff. That's it. Hang in there, boys. Still worried about this. Sponsors, please, because we're not going to get the. I'm probably going to die on the mountains. It's worth 10 grand. Surely my life is worth 10 grand, surely. I don't know.
Yes.
Well, in fact,
all donations welcome.
Yeah, thank less you. Than that now, because we've raised 475 quid, so 9,000 something odd quid. Really.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Ten grand peaks on Just Giving.
10 grand
go,
peaks.
There we are. That's my...
Very good.
That's my plug. There you go. Right, cool.
Bye-bye. Is Paddy gone?
Good stuff. Great stuff, lads. Yeah, great. Brilliant.
Right, cheers, guys.
The Share Pickers Weekend Podcast with Justin, Paddy, Peter and Steve. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.